Your saints. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in his house. Maybe we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, humbly, Lord, we approach you even upon this day. Father, with joy in our hearts. Lord, even as David said, Lord, that I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for even the worship, Lord, which has gone before. Father, we want to pray now, Lord, even for the next segment, Lord God, of this plan, this preparation for the day. Lord, even as we desire, Lord, just to share your word, we're praying for your grace, your mercies, Lord. Father, may you lead in all things. Father, the weekend has begun well. Lord, sing the word, and Father God, what came out of it yesterday? We pray, Lord God, desiring, Lord, that you continue to guide and lead. Father, let your blessings pour down. Father, we want to pray for all those that are present and those that are still on the way. Please be with them. Be with those that are online. Undertake for them, Lord. Father, be merciful even as we commit everything which we'd say and which will be done. We commit it to you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. I was laughing yesterday because last week when Brother George got the confirmation to take the Sunday school, he was enjoying, he loves oxtail. So he was enjoying his meal. But as soon as I called him and I told him, brother, you're on for tomorrow. He said, this meat is not tasting good. You know, but so I was laughing at him last week and I didn't know that the week would go so fast. To that it would land on me. But may the Lord undertake and help us. God bless you once again. Before we sit, maybe we can read a scripture just to try to get a thought out of it. If you could please keep for us Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Brother Nat, is this screen here? Is this one working? It might help me. Romans 8:35. So, the scripture reads, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you can read, open for us one more. Philemon. Philemon, we'll just take a part of that on Philemon, and we want from verse 1. So I can read it here in my Bible. We just want the first part of it. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Just to try and get a thought out of it, is a Christ-centered life gives us overcoming power. Yeah. So... Just looking at that there, and where the thought came from, I suppose, is, you know, in fellowship with saints and different things and reflecting on different things that would be going on, you see that in the many of the challenges that we as believers we go through and that we face, you find that one thing which is key to us overcoming what comes our way, because we know that, like the word said there, that there's nothing that can separate us from the Lord. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Yeah? But to overcome in our age, and it has been that way in every age from the beginning of time, to overcome, we know if we look in the Word, there's others who have gone before us. If we look in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of all the giants of the faith, you know, that have gone before us. And these here were not just given to us as something to look at and admire or hang up as some kind of a fairy tale. But these were men and women like us that faced the same challenges, that faced the same trials that we did. So if we want to see a reflection or image of how we too in our age can overcome, then we need to go back to the Word. And in looking at different challenges, like we were saying, and one thing in particular, we've been having a fellowship with some of the saints, the young married couples and that, and maybe some not so young married. But and there's different questions and different challenges that come up. But one thing which we see, you know, there's answers in the Word. Amen. And something which, anyway, to me, I see in that all our problems, whatever the issues are, if we are living a Christ-centered life, then we are more than overcomers. Amen. Especially whether it be a relationship as believers, and we are here amongst each other as believers. So we can't look at any other psychology or anything, because we have the ultimate, which is the Word of God. And more so, we have the revealed Word of God for our day. Yeah. But many of the challenges that come along, you see there's a common thread that's there. And that there is that in some cases, it's lacking a Christ-centered life. You know, because we see, like with Paul, the Word says, like we read there in Philemon chapter 1, the first, Philemon, there's one chapter. But the first part, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And we know that Paul was born free in his day. He was a free man. He was not born a slave. Yeah? Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that. So for him to say that he was a prisoner, he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ, is, if you read the text, you could misunderstand that he's speaking that he's in bonds. Yes, he was in prison, but that's not what Paul was speaking about. Paul was speaking about his will, that his will, his ambition, he's a prisoner to the will of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, he's a prisoner to the will of Jesus Christ. But just to build on that, if we could please get for us Acts chapter 9, to see how did Paul get to that place where he could say that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Because we know that the life of Paul, when he was still Saul, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man who believed that what he was doing the will of God. He was consenting even to the stoning of righteous Stephen. He was there. He believed thoroughly with all his heart that what, and he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. But that all changed when in, let's, if you can please pull for us Acts chapter 9. It says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord